Radio.
Now, Lessons in Chemistry is the new book by Bonnie Garmus, and Bonnie joins me in studio. Good afternoon, Bonnie.
Oh, thanks. I'm so happy to be here.
Now, we sound like you're off mic there. Hold on, let me see. There's something on there. Yeah, let's try that. Count to 10 there.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Are we
okay?
Seven.
No, we're going to have to move you here.
Okay.
Bonnie, sorry about that. That's a great start, isn't it?
Yeah, we're doing well.
This is like a crash course. You'll be doing loads of interviews, so it's good that this one didn't go according to plan.
There we go. Okay.
Now, let's see.
How does that sound?
How are we doing there, Karen?
Good.
We're going to get you there now. Must have been something going on. Right, okay. I'll tell people about the book then. It's Bonnie's first book, and the star of the book is a lady called Elizabeth Zott. And Elizabeth is a scientist, and she always wanted to be a scientist. And she accidentally ends up as a TV presenter. And let's see if we can talk to you now, Bonnie.
Yeah. Well, it's great to be here.
Yeah, great. Great. We have you there now. We have you there. Sorry about that. Now, first book, and I was telling people, if you don't mind, that you were in your 60s. Is that
yes,
okay?
It's fine. it's not a secret.
Yeah. But you've been, a bit like your protagonist, you've always wanted to write.
Yeah, it just
took a bit longer than most people.
A little bit long. Well, I've been writing. I'm a copywriter, and I had written another book, but it didn't go anywhere. So this is my first successful book.
Will you tell us about the other book? Because I know that people who write love to hear those stories of rejection. Because it gives them
absolutely
hope.
Yes. Absolutely. Well, I got 98 rejected. 98? I was going to go for 100. And then I thought, why are you doing this? So I stopped at 98 because at 98, the 98th agent wrote back and she said, look, I read the first 5,000 pages. I thought it was great. But you have no business writing a 700-page novel.
Oh, she read the first 500 pages as opposed to 5,000. Sorry, I was thinking.
Yeah, it was large. But she told me I had no business writing a debut novel of 700 pages and to write something shorter. She said it in a slightly meaner way than that. But anyway, you know what? I took the advice, and that advice led to Lessons in Chemistry.
Yes, and there's a lot of noise about it.
Yes, there is.
Will you explain to people how that happens? Because the book isn't even on the shelves yet.
Yeah.
And yet everyone's talking about it. It's going to be made into an Apple TV miniseries with Brie Larson.
Yep.
So she's producing it, is she? And starring in it?
Yeah, she is. I've got a couple. Jason Bateman also and Michael Costigan are the producers.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how does it happen? So you eventually got, obviously, an agent and you got a publisher.
Yeah.
It's Penguin.
Yeah.
And how do they decide then that they're going to, tell people before it's even released that this is brilliant and they're going to, because that's what's happening, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it is. That's the thing.
Yeah. No, it's been unbelievable. But really the story starts, after getting all those rejections, I put that novel, my large, heavy novel aside, and I started this one. And then before I had finished this novel, my agent signed me.
Okay.
So she signed me on a partial. I never had to query again. So if anybody is out there querying their novel, it will end eventually. That part. That is so awful.
Yeah. And this started, you were sort of angry, in a bad mood.
Oh, yeah. I'm a little embarrassed about that. But yes, this started with a very bad mood. I'd been in a meeting one day and this guy had been fairly disrespectful to me in the meeting. And afterwards, a couple people in the meeting had apologized to me for him, but he never said a word. At any rate, I was so mad after that meeting that I went back to my desk. And instead of working on what I was supposed to be working on, I wrote the first chapter of Lessons in Chemistry.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of it in it. It's men's attitudes to women, and Elizabeth is sort of the lightning rod for that. It's set in the 50s, 60s, and you cover so many themes in it, but so in such an entertaining way.
Oh, thank you.
It's a bit like a feminist manifesto, really, isn't it?
Kind of, yeah. It's interesting, though, because in the book, what I try to also bring out is that men are under the same sort of societal limitations that women are. It's just in a different form. And so there are a lot of men, like, say, Walter Pine in the book, who's being told to be more aggressive, more this way. And it's not by that man.
Yes.
And so, my point was that, we're all just people. And what Elizabeth is trying to say is we're actually just atoms and molecules. And do we really have any business acting like we're more than that? I mean, what we really are, these ideas that we have from society are really based on myth. And so what she's saying...
There's your There's your thing. And I think that's the crux of the book. I've marked it there. You might disagree, but would you read it for us?
Yeah. Men and women are both human beings, and as humans, we're byproducts of our upbringings, victims of our lackluster educational systems, and choosers of our own behaviors. In short, the reduction of women to something less than men and the elevation of men to something more than women is not biological. It's cultural. And it starts with two words, pink and blue. Everything skyrockets out of control from there.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite parts. Thank you. That's lucky. I think that's really the crux of the book.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So tell us, because you're starting this now, and so this is all new to you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The interviews and the attention. And
yeah, oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, no, it's fantastic, but it's a lot, you know, and it's completely unexpected. When you labor away as a writer does alone every day, and I wrote alone also as a copywriter, when you're always writing alone, you get used to being alone, and it's where you feel most comfortable. So suddenly being thrust like this into the limelight is quite difficult for me. But people are so nice, and they've been so generous about the book, and so I really have no complaints.
Yeah. How long did it take you to write?
5 years.
Right.
Yeah.
it fascinates me, you know, that you would spend 5 years on a project and not knowing there might be another 98 rejections coming your way.
I was pretty sure, you know, I don't like to have a lot of people read what I'm writing. But I did occasionally explain to a friend, oh, I'm writing this book. And they'd say, oh, what's it about? And I'd say, oh, it's about this chemist and she's on a cooking show. And they go, you might want to hang on to that day job, you know, and they were right in some ways, but I've just never been good at explaining my own writing.
And she's had a tough life, Elizabeth Zott, her family background, her dad was a sort of a pay to pray type guy
exactly.
who toured, ended up in prison. Yep. His mum went off with somebody else down to Brazil. So she ended up with sort of an orphan. But science kept her on the straight and narrow, didn't it?
Yep.
And it made sense of the world for her.
Right, exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we already read that out about, you know, sexism that doesn't exist in science.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you turn your attention to religion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. One of the themes throughout the book is the idea that people lie all the time. And religion can be a very large deception in our lives. There's so many religions. Everybody maintains their religion is the real one. And these religions, they can offer a lot of solace. They can also do an enormous amount of harm. And so what she's saying is, you know, basically, I hate to say it, but there is no God. That's what she says.
Yes.
You know, I'm an atheist. And for her to say that on the airwaves in the 1960s, wow. I mean, even when I was writing, I was like, you are in so much trouble now.
Elizabeth Zott, you're in so much.
Are you sure?
Is that the way you write? Because it sounds like that's sort of hindsight. You're nearly embellishing a story, you know, because that's what you do. That's what you do for a living.
Well, it is kind of funny, though, with her. There would be times where I think, I've got to pull back because people won't like her or whatever. And then I thought, you know, I kept thinking she would say, I don't care about likability.
Mm.
I care about truth. I care about science. I care about progress. I care about curiosity. I want to see things change. And change is what we do. It's what chemistry is. It's the natural order of things.
Yeah. And all that, all science-based. And then you have he nearly talks, the dog.
The dog.
He definitely thinks, and he has an internal sort of monologue going on there.
Yes.
And he reacts to things.
Yes.
And she's teaching him
words.
English, yeah.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. She's teaching. I liked that idea of her teaching him English, and not just, you know, commands like sit and stay, but, you know, complicated words. There's another chapter out there it's called 6:30 and the Moms. It's not in this book, but it was cut out of this book, but it's part of a special edition.
So 6:30 is the dog?
Yes.
Because that's when he came
into your
lives.
Yeah. And in that chapter, he talks about these other words that he's learned. And for me, it was really interesting to try to see the world through what a dog must think of us, you know, and a dog who clearly cares for humans, but what he would think of our decisions and, and how we decide to proceed on things. And so he was a joy to write. But I will be honest, 630 is the only character in the book who's actually based on a dog.
Because you have a dog called 99.
I have a dog called 99. 630 is not based on 99.
Okay.
But 630 was based on...
99 is listening and very upset.
Oh, she is mad now. No, 630 was based on my dog Friday. We'd gotten Friday at the shelter and she'd been badly abused.
Let me guess, on a Friday?
Okay, no. This is the weird... My daughter's named her Friday, but we got her on Saturday. And at the time, my husband and I were like, you know it's Saturday, right? I said, but no, it's Friday. Her name's Friday. So that's what we named her.
Okay.
That's what they named her.
And so 630 is based on Friday, not on 99.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, 99 doesn't like to hear that, but okay, but that's true. And Friday turned out to be kind of a brilliant dog. We didn't go out of our way to train her, teach her certain words, but she would observe us and listen to us and learn these words on her own. So we could say things like, I can't find my keys. And she would go off and search pockets and drawers looking for keys until she found them.
Right.
Yeah, it was very handy, this dog.
Brilliant. Now, there are serious themes, obviously, talked about religion. I'm just careful not to spoil it for people. But there's sexual assault in it. Sexual assault in it. There's a lot of misogyny.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Bucket loads of misogyny.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, because you worked as a copywriter in the advertising industry.
Yeah.
And that was a notoriously male-dominated industry. Not so much now, but I'd say, what was your experience?
Well, it was, but, you know, actually, to tell you the truth, I've been freelance my entire life.
Okay,
and
so
I never worked within an agency. They always hired me out, but I never worked within one. And usually my clients came from the big corporations and technology and things. But those places are very sexist. The big companies, you know, we're talking about Google, Apple, these kinds of places. When I would
But sure, you can't say that. Don't they let women freeze their eggs so they can get pregnant at a later date?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
How big of them?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, come on. But be sure to work a 12-hour day.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting for me to see this kind of dynamic up close day in and day out. Because when I worked in technology, it was a lot of men, you know, 80% or something. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And now, even now, women in STEM, 30% of all STEM employees are women. Only 30%.
Still.
That's 2022.
Yeah. Now, when Elizabeth Zott was wanted to be a scientist, it was...
Zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero.
It was 0.1%.
Yeah. And was there a fear that you were looking back at things, you know, you had the benefit of hindsight?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So did you have to correct yourself when you were writing it? Because a lot of it is Elizabeth Zott, through her afternoon show, which is called Supper at Six, she was calling women, the women of America, to action.
Yeah.
So we're not treated properly. We're undervalued.
Yeah.
We need to change.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And of course, change was about to happen.
Right.
We know that now,
right.
Looking
exactly.
back.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Like the feminist movement was about to kick off.
Yeah, setting it up there.
Yeah, setting it up there.
No one knew it was Elizabeth Zott, but that's who it was.
So did you have to, you know, check yourself that maybe you were doing it with hindsight?
Well, yeah. I mean, a little bit, though. When I wrote the book, I specifically set it in that era for two reasons. One was that's when my mom was a mom. And she'd been a nurse, and now she was at home with four small children. My dad traveled all the time. And I had a chance to reflect and think about what that was like for her. Because when this book is set, women could not be pregnant and hold a job. They could not sign a check without their husband co-signing it. They had no legal right to their husband's paycheck.
That was
in America, yeah, I should say.
Yeah, in Ireland, for example, you had to leave the civil service when you got married as a woman.
Someone just told me that.
Yeah.
I was shocked. I actually, why am I shocked? Because, yes, this was happening
all over the world. Yeah.
Yeah. And so.
And unfortunately, in some countries.
It still is. And
anyway, you saw your mother's experience.
I saw my mother's experience. But also I said it then because I needed to know that we've moved on, that we have actually made progress. And I'm happy to report we've made tremendous progress. Mm. We haven't made enough progress. 30% in STEM, but we've made significant progress. And I think, you know, when I think on this, I think we can, if we can do it then, we can do it now. And we just need to keep going. We just need to keep seeing this disparity, because it's a big waste of time to waste these minds. We have so many problems to solve. I think, you know, we need all hands on deck, and to keep people out based on specifics like your gender, it just seems ridiculous.
Yeah. Like, we look at our sort of our government, like it's embarrassing, the low percentage of women who are in the government. And any time that comes up, I always say, well, and you know, people, not just me, but loads of people say the world would be a better place if there were more women in power. Mm-hmm. And then they cite, you know, Margaret Thatcher as saying, well, would that be the case?
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah, I mean, there are women you maybe
of,
would
of
know.
Of course, but and then people would argue then that Margaret Thatcher was actually trying to replicate masculine traits.
Exactly.
And she had to do that because she was in a man's world.
Exactly.
to get where she got.
Yeah.
So we're entering now a world where that's not the case.
Exactly.
That women can be women and not try to replicate men.
Yeah.
And that's the real change, I think.
Yeah.
Is it? I don't know.
I think that is exactly it. I think you phrased it perfectly.
Well, I doubt it. But.
Well, no, I'm really impressed, actually. No, that's what I think that we should be going towards, because, you know, it's interesting. Since this book has not been out, but I've gotten lots and lots of letters from women scientists today, women scientists who are in the field today who say, nothing's changed. What you described is exactly how it is right now for me at work.
Mm.
And that is really depressing to hear.
So, and the other side of it is, and this is, and Elizabeth, it's not lost on Elizabeth, or you, obviously, because you wrote it, is the value of women who decide to stay at home and raise their children.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's about choice.
It's about choice. And, you know, I have several male friends who they stayed at home instead of their wives. And that was their choice. And, you know, they had a hard time. People were like, why are you staying at home? And they would say, I want to stay at home. That's what I chose. But there would always be this sort of judgment about them, which really bothered me. You know, I applauded what they were doing. So, yeah, I do think it's about choice.
Mm. Would you recommend coming to it later in life, the writing thing?
You know what? I am thrilled to have it come whenever it comes. So if you're 25 and it comes, good for you. And if you're 64, great for you.
Yeah. And I'm underselling it because there's so much in the book. It's multi-layered. It's funny. It's intelligent. It's uplifting.
Oh,
it's loads of things. Look, I laughed. I cried. It's a wonderful book. It's a wonderful book. So I can see why the people who know are getting behind you. Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much. That's so kind.
And does that put you under a good bit of pressure? Or?
Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, where's the next book? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's great.
So
it's
as
great.
I mentioned, so Brie Larson, she's going to produce and she's going to star in a TV adaptation of
yep.
it. So we know that she's obviously Elizabeth Zott. I've worked that out for myself.
Yep.
Anybody else that we know? Jason Bateman.
Well, I think, I don't know if he's going to be in it, but he's one of the producers.
Right.
Perhaps he will be. I haven't heard yet, but they're just now entering casting. They keep it pretty close to their chest. But I can say that they've been receiving nonstop dog headshots. So
right, okay.
The dog casting is well underway.
Doesn't mention what breed of dog he is.
He's a lurcher. Americans don't know what lurchers are.
Right.
So I had to send photographs of those.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
but he doesn't have to be.
He doesn't have to be. But you know, it's so funny. As soon as I started sending pictures of lurchers, they went, oh, yeah. Oh, now I get it. So, yeah.
Yeah. So when you're writing a book, is that part of the dream that it will be adapted into a movie?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Is
I mean,
it?
Yeah. I mean, well, okay, to be completely honest, for me, it's all about the book. But it's so nice that it will reach other people in another medium.
Mm.
And, you know, when you're writing it, you do kind of go, oh, who would I see in this role? Except for this one, I really couldn't see very many other people. I saw these characters as I saw them. So I didn't see them as real actors.
As I was reading it, coincidentally, I watched I Love the Ricardos, which is Javier Bardem and Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
Playing husband and wife from I Love Lucy, Lucille
right.
Ball. And she reminded me a little bit of Elizabeth Zott.
Well, in fact, her best friend is a producer and she called
Whose best friend?
Nicole Kidman's best friend.
Right, yeah.
Her name, no, I'm, oh, terrible. It doesn't. Okay.
People won't know
anyway.
Her
anyway, yeah. She's in Australia, and she called me and said we'd like to do this, but she was worried that Nicole Kidman would be too old for it.
See, I thought that.
You know, I was like, you were right on the money.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
But she would have been brilliant.
I agree. 15 years ago.
Brilliant.
I know. Didn't write fast enough.
Yes. Yeah. So that'll give you an idea of just people listening. Elizabeth Zott, that's her, isn't it?
Yeah.
She's very attractive.
She's very attractive.
But doesn't smile that often.
She never smiles.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard. She's had a hard life, and she doesn't see smiling. It doesn't get her anywhere. And she doesn't have a lot to smile about, really.
And she's not that funny either. But she's
not funny at all.
Yeah.
You know, really, it's the people around her who are reacting to her because she's who she is.
Mm. Yeah. But very likable all the same. It's an odd mix. That's the power of your writing. On a serious note, because this is the thing that we're still going through in this country. I don't know if you're aware, but mother and baby homes and illegal adoptions and exporting babies to America, etc. Yep. All that. And that's in there as well. Yep. I don't want to give away spoilers.
Well, you know, I'm an adoptive parent. I have two children who were adopted, and I really wanted to represent one idea which is very close to my heart, which is that family doesn't have to be biological. If you're born into a family, you may not fit into that family. So that was certainly true for Elizabeth. And then Calvin, of course, in the story, her love interest, he has also had a rough go of it. And so the idea I wanted to get across is that your family is far more than your biological family. And if you don't have one, or if you lost one, you still have a family out there, but you need to create it. And that's what Elizabeth Zott does.
Yeah. And Harriet is a lovely character, her next-door neighbor, and she has her own daughter, Mad.
Yeah.
Why Mad and not Madeline? That was explained in it, was it?
Yeah, well, she gets named Mad by accident after she's given birth. But her real name is Mad. I mean, they call her Madeline. Her real name is Mad.
Right.
Mad Zott.
Mad Zott. Okay, yeah. Right. So, Lessons in Chemistry, Bonnie Garmus. And it is out...
Today.
Today. Fanfare, if I would have known. Popping of corks, all that sort of thing. Elaine says, I'm almost 40 years old and I'm in college for the first time ever. I choose science, and the lack of old women I see during my studies is disheartening. Inspiring to hear of an author getting published later in life. Life doesn't finish in our 20s. We need to see more of this. Thank you, Elaine.
Yay, thank you, Elaine.
There you go. Yes. And thanks so much, and good luck with it.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is the beginning of it.
This is just delightful.
Yeah. When we got it going, it was delightful. It was great. Thanks, Bonnie Garmus there. We'll take a quick commercial break.